I'm not sure. I would have chosen something. But if, why was I born in the house of a normal civil servant farmer? No, I had to be born in a family where my mother was the granddaughter of the godfather, and my father was a fascist terrorist. So try to combine this heritage where we have this real tension here. But my parents were saved by the grace of God. My parents were disinherited twice for being Protestants. What is a cost? If you want to be a true Christian, then there is a serious cost. They were ostracized. I remember my grandmother parading the presents for those who don't. When in Italy we have First Communion. You know, when you are Roman Catholic, you're Christmas a child. When you are 8, you get confirmed and then First Communion. And it's a big tradition of giving a lot of presents. So my grandparents would do the utmost to tell us you're not getting anything because you're not Protestant. I tell that to them. So the privilege, but as a hand is pure, so I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian family. Not only that, I had the privilege of going to the only Christian school in the country. So I had a lot of privileges. But didn't mean anything. Because I want a certain age. I regarded my father as a failure. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be. Yes, I believe in God, but I believe in philosophy. I believe in ideologies which require strength. So here, and violence and domination. So here you are, you have Manasseh doing all with what was, which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And what does the scripture is very clear, what does he do to provoke the Lord? If you turn me to look at verse 3. There's a rebellion. The rebellion starts little and then it spreads like a disease by the wildfire in the heart of man, and the person who has the privilege of knowing the things of God, when it begins to rebel, it doesn't stop until it gets really bad. J.C. Ryle, the bishop, had a son who turned against him. Different evangelists in the course of history had their sons turn against them. I heard of the stories of people who are home shameful businesses and call them that for the delicacy of the present, who actually have children who are believers. So here you are. The interesting thing is, once the rebellion starts, what does Manasseh do? He builds. He builds again in high places. Hello, my friend. The high places were not, you know, he did not decide he liked to appear on a tall place. I like hills. I am sitting in like mountains. You took me to the seaside, I get bored. Take me to a mountain, I love it. I grew up in the mountains. High places were places where people offered sacrifices to deities, fertility rituals which involved immorality, and we will leave it there. He built again the high places which Hezekiah had broken down. In my life, I wanted to be a soldier and reorganize and succeed in what my father had failed. I come from a military family. In my father's side, of soldiers. The Lord has a good sense of humor. I was refused by the army when I was 18. I felt like I was a complete failure. But anyway, he had broken down and rid up the high places. He rid up the altars for Baalim, made groves. We will not get to the abomination of the groves, the word thereafter, not the meaning, about certain kind of worship. Just take a sake of delicacy, we will not go into the particulars of that kind of worship. But it doesn't stop there. Because Ahab was doing that. The king of Israel were doing the same kind of things. Oh no, it was not sufficient. He had to do more. The rebellion, he built the altars inside the temple. My friends, he built the altars to the host of heaven. He worshipped Ashtaroth, Astarte, Ishtar, Venus, inside the temple of Jehovah. I don't know if you have a classical education. When I was in Sicily, I studied in there. I was studying the only Protestant school of the town for my elementary school, but I was admitted to the Jesuit College for my high school education. I'm the only Protestant who can claim to be educated by a saint. My teacher was made a saint by the present Pope. I learned all the Roman Catholic theology from him. A Jesuit college and a saint as a teacher. Well, that's quite interesting things you learn. And we learned all about these pagan things as well. And I'm going to interject this. The Roman Catholic Church will teach that these are okay. They're a distorted way. But God will not still upset them. He caused his children to pass through the fire of in the fire of the valley of the San Marino. To you it's a bit foreign. If you come to Sicily, I could show you a place. This little island of Sicily where an Englishman found these things. You will find little jars with little skeletons in. Human sacrifice, children sacrifice. The terrible thing was, they had a statue of Molech made of bronze and fire, and they put the child, the newborn baby, in the hands of this roasting idol, and the mothers had to sing when they saw the firstborn die. Now, this is something you want to know. Why do you want the God to punish the peoples, the pagans? Maybe it was the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God. Well, how do you feel if you are a mother and you've been told that you have to offer your firstborn on that? More still, these peoples kept ladies whose only purpose was to produce children, so they would sacrifice the children, so the children of the rich people would not have to sacrifice theirs. Is the God of the Old Testament a cruel God when he punished those nations? No, it's not. So here we have this. You see, this is the way. When we know the truth and we depart from the truth, Manasseh does his utmost to provoke God. Because he says that at the end of verse 6, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It's not something you just don't want to know about Christ, you don't want to know about God, and you bleed your own way, your own life. No. It's not sufficient. You see, in my life it was not sufficient. In our family, it's interesting because I'm talking about some of the background in our family. Not only we have priests, nuns, monks, and criminals, we have witches. Beautiful ladies, my aunties, I tell you. You meet them, they're very nice. Good ladies, but they would practice your cult. And it's a terrible thing in our Roman Catholic countries. So we have all this, there is all this heritage there which is provoking the Lord to anger. Now, I don't know if you, do you remember when you did something to provoke your parents? I used to do that a lot, don't you ever do that? I used to really enjoy promoting my father, especially when American and British mission came around. I loved it. Here they come. I loved, you see, coming from a fascist family, Americans and English were the enemies still in our family. So when an American and British mission came around, World War II was a topic. And I loved and blessed my father. I provoked. The privilege Manasseh had to know the truth. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew the consequences of sin, the life of his grandfather. He knew how the Lord has blessed his father, and yet he chose. Turn to John chapter 1. I would like to read a very familiar verse. It's interesting, sometimes we have as preachers we are called to preach on familiar verses in this day and age. And I found that very interesting visiting churches, and I don't know if this is my first time, but I go to the churches and you assume, well, I was rebuked by a preacher, never assume the congregation know what you're talking about. Even if you've been Christian for donkey years. Not because of my pronunciation. John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. You see, my friends, Manasseh was the son of a godly king, but was not godly. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. You need to be born again from God, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I had an interesting thing. I knew all the Bible passages to attack a Roman Catholic priest. I loved it, especially when my uncle the bishop came around. I loved when he came around. It was like a battlefield scoring points. And I humiliated him. But I was not born again. I was a Protestant. Had a lot of rage. So provoke is rebellion. There is this verse, as they say, in verse 7, it repeats, the Lord says, in Jerusalem I will put my name forever. He knows the covenant of God, and he provoked the Lord in such a way. And in another part, he says, in 1 Kings 21, says, it caused much shedding of blood. Not only he didn't want people to, he didn't want to follow the Lord, but he did, verse 9, so Manasseh made Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than them. Whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. To my shame, I say this, in my rebellion, I took my brothers. I was the leader. Being the first boy, I was the leader. So my brother Sam and my brother David, they were always on my side. Marco is my brother, loyal to the end. So I did cause them to rebel. My sister was only three, so she couldn't rebel. But I was involved in inciting the others to rebel. This is inside a missionary family. My parents were missionaries. So not only they are the enemy without, they are the enemy within. And the Lord is merciful, isn't it? The Lord sent me warning, and in fact it was an English missionary who came to visit us, and he started talking to me, and then it was his friend who was an American missionary, and they were different, because they start talking about forgiveness, Christ. Where would you go if you die? Now, death has never been a big problem to me as a young man. I was a very daring boy, not giving you ideas. Not giving you any ideas. I was a daring boy. And I used to also do practical primers in a school, but that was another story. The Lord really brought me down. You see, the Lord spoke, I was born, the Lord speaks to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. There was a strange, he killed prophets. And wherefore the Lord brought upon them, verse 11, the captain to the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and brought him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. I reached a point in my life as a young man, seeing the level of violence around me, having great disappointments in different areas of my life, having a double life. I was the son of the pastor on Sunday, I was always in church. I lived above. Our church was a coffin factory. It was a better building. I lived above, so I could never miss. Unless I was contagious, I would never miss a service. But having had that privilege, and I was a walking concordance, if you could ask me where is this passage, and literally in the Italian Bible, not Crudence, but yeah, the Italian Bible, English Bible. But this is not me. The Lord warned me, but I would not listen. Because Marco is Marco. Marco is a stubborn boy. Marco knows all. Marco does not mean God. Manasseh was finished. Manasseh was warned. But he listened. Manasseh trusted the gods he had adopted because he was like the others. So was I. I was a popular student. At home, I left my marks. So one day, not having achieved what I wanted to do, I decided it was time to end my life. Yes. There's no point to live. Why should I live? There's no point. So, Jesus. Okay. So I prepared a system to do so. It worked. Mm-hmm. I tested it was working. So, try the first time, nothing works. But I'm stubborn. And I say to God, you're not stopping me. There's no way you're going to stop me. Tried a second time. It didn't work. That's why when the affliction came, verse 12, you see, when Manasseh was defeated, and the Lord had to stop him and break his leg. He had to stop him. Because no one can defy the Almighty God and not face the consequences of such defiance. And those who have known the privilege to know the things of God even worse. And I was afflicted. I broke in tears. But it was one day, going to school. I had a New Testament my mother had given me, and I didn't read the Bible much in those days. I preferred Plato to the Bible and Nietzsche. And I sat down, Plato philosopher, to those who don't know who they are, evil people, don't touch them, don't waste your time in reading them. And I went to, I used to commute because I lived in the mountains and went to the school in town. The pastor, and I remember reading the Gospel of John in one sitting. I suggest you do it. Ignore chapter and verse, read it all in one go, because he opens so many things. And the Lord worked in my heart as if suddenly everything was clear. Yes, I was brought up in a Christian home. I could tell you, you ask me, where is this passage? I could tell you the 5 points of Calvinism. I could recite them backwards to you. And I loved debating their meanings when I was a little boy, a young man, because I loved them. Not showing off. Everything was clear. I was a sinner, a lost sinner, who had rebelled against the Almighty God, who had ignored his warnings, who had provoked him to anger, who has led others to sin. This is the son of the pastor talking to you. This is the son of a missionary. We have a church like this. In a town in a real run-down area of Palermo. Interesting, when the Lord allows us to go through certain things, here in verse 12 we read this, and humble himself greatly, Manasseh humble himself greatly, all my pride was gone. Marcus knows nothing now. Why is all the philosophy started, all his grades, all his knowledge gone? Before God his Father, and prayed unto him, oh, I besought the Lord. I entreated him. I knew, I realized, and the consequences. You see, I could hide certain things from my father, but I hide certain things from my parents, from the family, but I could not hide anything from God Almighty. I couldn't. You know, you can hide things from other people, but you cannot hide anything from God. He knows it all. And at the end of verse 13, it says this. Manasseh prayed unto him, and he was entreated, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. My friend, the question today is, do you know God, or do you know about God? Because the devil believes in God too, and they tremble. They're not saved. There's no redemption for the devil. The devil knows God more than you and I do. That's really sin. You know that. The devil did see God. He was created by God. You and I have never seen God. He has more evidence about the existence of God than you and I have. And yet he's not saved. He can never be saved. And so I realized that. It was this in this now realization. My life changed. What do you do now? Because you see, there is an aspect in conversion. You cannot come to Jesus as you are and stay as you are, as some people would like to preach. All things must change, the old man must go. There's no room for the old man. Manasseh asked to make reparation. Now the reason why we have this verse 15 where we see in the scripture that he builds the town and the gates, he cares about his people. And interesting, because if you read certain legends about Manasseh appears in Jewish legends as a king who does not even care about his people. And probably would never have cared if he was bent to provoke the Lord to anger, if he shed blood, as 1 Kings 21 tells us, he was a murderous king. Anyone who opposed him was killed. And so he had to do something. So he strained, he built, he fortifies the town. And in verse 14 he says, he took away the strange gods. I love books. In fact, pastor, my wife tells, when I go and visit pastors, my wife phones the wife and says, don't let my husband near your husband study. And don't tell your husband not to give him any more books. Because he doesn't need any more books. He's got 22 copies of the King James Bible. We don't understand why. And he's got several sets, four copies of the same book. In fact, my garage is my library now, because one of the daughters took my study, and daddy has to give the daughter the room. Now they need a space. I had a lot of books, so all those books, which were not Christian, went. I had to apologize to my father, apologize to my mother. Worse still, I had to apologize to my uncle, the bishop. I have to apologize to him. He doesn't believe the truth. Do I have to apologize to uncle? Yeah. And when I went and apologized, I didn't apologize for what I believed. Dress an older person in some kind of rude manner is regarded, or was regarded, a terrible thing, especially if it was a great uncle. Worse, an older man, you show respect. So, and interesting enough, the reaction of my uncle was that my great uncle was that from time to time he would come and be in close to our meetings. So we had the bishop coming through the door and listening, sitting down at the back, listening to my father's preaching. Manasseh had to do repairs, and the Lord gave me the grace and the joy to see my brothers saved. Manasseh, verse 16 says this, and repair the altars of the Lord and sacrifice their own peace offerings and time offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Now was my responsibility to my brothers. We don't do that anymore. It's hard to be the first. He is. It's a hard job. And it's interesting, because he did, but there were still some consequences in the life of Judah. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice, still in the high places, yet out of the Lord of God. In the case of Manasseh, we see he tried to repair, but couldn't repair everything. The Lord was merciful to me in many ways, and the things were going on in my family, but it's not always the case. It's not always the case. The Lord forgives, but we may have to face the consequences of sin. And they are painful. They hurt. Now, I don't know your situation, but are you obeying the Lord, or are you provoking the Lord? My friend, I used to sit in church that was as good as God. I even have that. I was not believing. Now you are believing. You had the privilege. Some of you may have had the privilege to be brought up in a Christian family. Some of you may have had not the privilege to be brought up in a Christian family. But are you a believer, a true believer? Are you provoking the Lord? Don't play with fire. Now, I don't mean it. The Lord is a consuming fire. For the unbeliever, God is a consuming fire. We are, those who have been saved, are spared that reality. But for the unbeliever, God is a consuming fire. But at the same time, see, the Lord, Manasseh dies, but they said, to conclude this, Amon. You know, everybody neglects Amon because it's only, four verses long. Amon was his son, and he began to reign after his father died, and he reigned only 2 years. And he did that which was evil. And he did sacrifice to the carving of his head. Just imagine, his father threw them out, and he went to the bin, to the rubbish dump, to retrieve them. And he did not even humble himself. That gives a picture because he was killed by his own servants. That gives an interesting picture. Do not provoke the Lord and do not presume the Lord will not judge. The Lord was very patient when Manasseh let him reign for 55 years, but he had no patience. That's a very interesting warning to us all, my friends, because let us not suppose because Manasseh is a case in which the Lord displays his sovereign grace, he displays one thing which sin is about, grace over abounds. But we cannot take that for granted. We cannot presume on that. The Lord judges sin and punishes sinners. Very unpopular message to tell people that God judges sin. It's true. So I hope that I don't know if I succeeded in what Pastor asked me to do now. I hope that you are encouraged in two things. Never to compromise your faith. Because Manasseh wanted to be like the others. You may say, but that may not happen here. Well, it happened in our church. I was one. Never compromise your faith. Never compromise the truth for popularity and be like the others. Now my children, I'm a homeschooling father as well. My children come back home and I start asking because they're friends, can I do this and that, Daddy? Because all my friends do it. My answer is very simple. It's been always simple. Your friends are not my children. You are my son. You're not my daughters. Basically, you're not my daughters. And that was the answer my father used to give to me when we were not homeschooled, went to school. You are not my daughters. daughters, you're my son. You're my daughter, you're not my daughters. So don't be a what we call a photocopy of others. You be yourself. Important, if you're a Christian. And the other thing is, never think in terms, well, God does not pay attention to certain detail. Today I arrived here, I confess a sin to you. I arrived here at 9 o'clock. It was pouring down with rain. So I was wondering, and my colleague dropped me off, and I went and sat down at the entrance of the church across the road. A person sees me, says, you can come in if you want. Well, it was freezing cold, so I went in. And they were having their service. So I sat down and observed. And one thing I thought was reflecting me, it was a lady bishop as well. That was interesting. Never met a female bishop in my life. Interesting. And then I was reflecting how easy it would be for any of us to say, well, obviously, why should we bother about these things? Details. They're nice people, they're friendly people. But they have no truth. They have no truth. And it's very interesting to see, my friends, today we have to be religious pluralism is a dangerous thing. So, now we need to pray for their salvation. We need the truth, because Roman Catholics need the truth as well. Remember this, my friend, we cannot say, if I divert a little bit from, we cannot say that the proclamation of the truth is not our business. And we cannot say that because they have a different religion and they believe in the Trinity, they're okay. No. A mental assent to what the Bible teaches is not sufficient for salvation. Because you can be I just tell you this to give an illustration. When I first came to England, I came along Reformed Baptist. So young people meeting me and Mark are very happy. Young people meeting all these young people. Nine young people meeting was my brothers and I, and there was a pastor and four daughters 200 miles away. We always went to visit this pastor for the daughters as well, but that's a different story. I asked a friend, how did you become a Christian? This young man, English man, young man my age, answered me, oh, my father's a Baptist pastor, my grandfather's a Baptist pastor. I said, stop there, Tom. My father's a Baptist pastor, my uncle's a Roman Catholic bishop. I didn't ask your pedigree. I asked you, when did you become a Christian? They had all the doctrines, correct, all the beautiful King James with black cover. Because after the young people meeting, these people will change and go to a disco. And now the public get drunk. So, my friend, I want to encourage you to stay strong in the Lord, to not compromise the truth. You are in a missionary position here. England is a mission field. So start thinking England is a Protestant country. England is a mission field. And you need to reach people. I sometimes jokingly say in England there must be desperate environment to preach because my accent and so on and so forth. I love encouraging people to reach the Catholic Church. Because they really are. If you know the truth, you have a responsibility to make it known. And the Lord will demand us accountability. What have you done? Let us come before the Lord in prayer.
Almighty God, we come before thy presence once more.
We thank thee for the record in the scriptures of the conversion of Manasseh, who was such an evil king, and he was such a terrible man, a sinful man, who did his uttermost to provoke thee to anger. And thou, in thy mercy, in thy sovereign grace, thou didst call him to repentance and faith in due time, in spite of his murders, rebellion, and witchcraft, and provocation. Thou art the truly true God. Great is thy mercy. Lord, we pray today for those whom we know of who are Manasses. Those for whom parents are praying and shedding tears. And we do also pray that we will not have Manasses among us. That I will prevent it. That I will protect each one of us from becoming a Manasseh to provoke thee. Keep us in the faith, O Lord, we beseech thee. Keep us closer to Christ, we implore thee. Renew our hearts, strengthen our hearts to have the faith according to thy word. May thy word be constantly our guide and our lamp to our feet. Encourage this church here in Timothy to reach the lost, to the message of the gospel of grace. Lord, we are grateful that the doctrines of grace grant us such an assurance that when we preach the gospel, souls will be added to thy church. We do not have to serve Christ. We do not have to convict people. The Holy Spirit must equip. And I pray for these young people here present today, Lord, that thou will bless them and keep them and make them grow in the ways of the Lord. And that this church will grow stronger in the truth and in love and in reaching the lost. We pray for the salvation of Roman Catholic friends and family we may have. Oh Lord, have mercy because they are blinded by false religion. And although even Protestants out there blinded by the religion which has been diluted and which has departed from the scriptures. Have mercy, Lord, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dear friends, our closing hymn is 554. And I hope it's built for nothing less. Now, Jesus' blood and righteousness, and ever trust in sweetest frame, by holding lead in Jesus' name. What is we hope built upon? Ponder these things. Do so.